Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. Love is not irritable or resentful. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Today I want to look at what love is not, what love is, and most especially, how love never ends. Would you pray with me? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, move among us this day so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence. For we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us this day in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living. For we need your word to live eternally. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Let's take a look again at that list. I was amazed to see how many points Paul used to speak, most importantly, about what love is not. Notice what he says. It's not envious, it's not boastful, not arrogant, not rude, just not insist on its own way, is not irritable, is not resentful, does not rejoice in wrongdoing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 things that love is not. Not envious. The biblical term here is covetous. Not desiring or being envious of that which another person has. Oh, well, you may say, that doesn't describe me. I'm not envious of other people. Oh, yeah, really? I was driving down 175 and passed this beautiful, glorious Buick Park Avenue and became envious. I went to a meeting, a clergy meeting no less, at a church up in northwest Dallas and became envious of their building. I looked at the wall at their budget and became envious of their church income. I looked at the pastor's salary and became really envious. It's only three times what I make, but that's no big deal. My friends, envy is powerful. Envy is there seated in the old man of sin within us. Envy is powerful, and he's there to come out at the most unexpected moment, desiring that which you don't have. Of course, a friend of mine standing next to me at another church, similar in size and budget to Siegelville, looked at that and said, "But think about it this way, Greg. With a building this big, you have huge headaches of building repair and upkeep. And with a budget that big, it means you got to cater to an awful lot of rich people, and they really need catering to. And with the budget this large, you got huge finance committees and audit committees and all sorts of stuff that just, it's administrative nightmare time, and you hate administration. And with a salary that big, you'd have to pay the IRS even more. No, you don't want these headaches, friend. You don't want them." And then he looked at me and he said, "We've talked a lot about your church. Do you envy this church's congregation?" And I thought about it. He's one of my friends who will sometimes prick my conscience. You know, gotcha. I thought about it and I said, "You know, I don't. I would envy the idea of having two times what I have right here in front of me, or three times even what I have right here in front of me of the same people. But my friends, I don't envy another pastor's congregation or desire what he has, because I have what God has given me. Truly a pleasant kingdom and a flock to love and care for and to be cared for by. So envy is tempting, but envy is not reflective of love. Love is not envious. It's not boastful. Listening to these preachers talk. Oh, we had this many in worship on Sunday. Oh, we have a budget this size. Oh, we have these projects going. And I was thinking to myself, oh, I wish we had already had our vision planning meeting so I could pull out this long list of things that we do and boast about what we're doing here. Boasting is self-focused. It's not love. It's not love for Christ, love for God, love for neighbor. It's love for self. Look at us. Look at me. Love is not boastful. Love is not arrogant. This is a completely different event. Went to a seminar. And I'm standing there chatting with another minister, someone I just met. And up comes one of the big, I mean, I'm going to tell you, one of the biggest steeple pastors in the United States today. Comes up. Hello, how are you doing? Hello, how are you doing? What's your name? And I tell him who I am and where I pastor. He says, oh, And what went through my mind in that moment, I don't want to tell you, but love, it wasn't reflective of love. Love is not arrogant. It's not rude. There you go. It's not rude. It does not insist on its own way. Always demanding your way or the highway. I had a teacher once who had a sign on his wall that said, there are only two ways of doing anything, the wrong way and my way. Love does not insist on its own way. Love is not irritable or resentful. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing. We're not normally used to thinking about this subject and thinking about love from the negative perspective, but it sometimes helps to actually look at it from the other side. What love is not. And if any of these characteristics, any of these impressions, any of these ways of living are ruling your life, if they are in charge of your living and your thinking and your breathing and your speaking, if they are in charge of your waking hours and of your subconscious mind, then I want to submit to you, my friends, that love is not in charge of your life. If you're envious or boastful or arrogant or rude, continually insisting on your own way, irritable, resentful, and rejoicing in wrongdoing, my friends, love is not ruling your life. That's the negative side. That's what love is not. What is love? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love is patient. If love is ruling in your heart, you're going to be patient with those who are still envious and boastful and arrogant and rude and insisting on their own way and irritable and resentful, and even those who do wrong. Patient. Love calls forth patient endurance in a believer. Love is kind. I've already spoken about what that means. It means to be like kin to one another, to be family to one another. Now, you know, sometimes, Mom, Dad, in our family, we have spats and fights. But guess what? We love each other nevertheless. It's not always easy, but we do, right? Nod your head. Thank you. I was getting scared there for a moment. Love is like being kindred to each other. Love is kind. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love rejoices in the truth. You see, the opposite of love rejoices in falsehood. Rejoices in putting on a false appearance or a mask, the mask of a hypocrite, if you will. The opposite of love rejoices in the falsehood, but love rejoices in the truth. Even, my friends, sometimes the truth that hurts is a reflection of love. If you really love me, you're not going to tell me that I'm a sinner. If you really love me, you're not going to point out the faults. Uh-uh. If you really love me, you'll point out that I have a booger on my nose. If you don't love me, you probably won't, unless you're just mean. But if you love me, you'll point out my faults. With love, not, I got him. That's what most people do. When they want to point out someone else's faults, they go, aha, I got him now. Uh-uh. If it's love governing you, then you point out the fault because you love them. You care for them. You want them to know that you are there to help them. You want them to know that you are there to see them through whatever fault it is. You want them to know that you won't leave them. Even though they are doing wrong, you will be patient and you will be kind with them. Love, my friends, sometimes hurts, but it must always be truthful. Love is patient, kind, rejoices in the truth, bears all things. That's what part of this, that's what this is about, my friends, bearing all things. I don't want to have to put up with this. I love my brother. I really do. Don't know why. But sometimes, bearing with him takes a lot of patient endurance and faith. But I love him. And therefore, I will be patient. I will be kind. And I will indeed be truthful. And I will bear with it. I won't give up. When we love truly, we don't give up. Believes all things. That doesn't mean that everything goes. I heard a sermon once preached, and the preacher, it was in chapel when I was in seminary, and one of those times when you're falling asleep in the back pew like you may be doing right now, and we were sitting listening, and that was when my friends and I would go through the hymnal and add words to hymns and titles and things like that, and change the notes in the hymnal just to be mean to the people who followed us. And we were really terrible in seminary. And this part jumped out of the sermon and hit me. When the preacher got up there and said, love believes all things. That means that if you really love someone, you don't care what they believe. You can accept them in and be warm and accepting. And, you know, Methodist will, if it moves, will affirm it. Therefore, just come on in and you can believe whatever you want to believe and it doesn't matter. Nuh-uh. That's not what it's talking about. Love believes all things means I am willing to believe the best for you. That you will respond by faith, that you will accept God's grace, that you will move forward by faith, that you will move into the kingdom, that you will be a child of God, even if you haven't done it, and even if you failed again and again and again and again and again. Indeed, it believes that I, even though I'm a sinner, even though I fail again and again and again and again, it believes, I believe, that love calls me to believe that I have a new start with God. You have a new start with God. And I don't care what sin you've committed. I don't care what sin I've committed. We have a new start with God. We always believe the positive. We ain't never done it that way before. I don't care. It's time to believe something new. Or, we tried it that way before and it didn't work then. Well, it might work now. Love believes all things. It's a positive orientation. We will believe the truth, and we will also believe for the good, that God can work miracles. We've seen miracles, my friends. Amen. Jason is a living miracle. Doctors completely, utterly shocked that what they told us. I mean, they told us he'd be checking into heaven. Even though I had said that in 2003, we were taking no more reservations for heaven. And listening to the doctors, I thought, oh, I'm going to have to go back on my word, because we all know where Jason would be going. And he fooled all of us. Love believes all things, including that God can work miracles. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. And love endures all things. A Christian life, my friends, can beat us down. It's not an easy life. The life of faith is not an easy life, but it's a life that's true and can lead us to heaven with God. Trying to get yourself, trying to earn your way into heaven won't work. You can't do it. Only Jesus was perfect. You can try to obey the law. You will mess up. And then where are you if you're depending upon yourself? Endurance calls forth in us by love. Endurance is called forth in us to live by faith. And this life that we have of faith is not an easy one. So, love is patient, kind, rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Wow. That's a wonderful description of what love is, of how love functions. Notice, none of that mushy, warm, love story type stuff. None of that schmaltzy stuff that you hear in the music these days. No. It's tough. It's truthful. It's meaningful. And it's life transforming. The mushy stuff might be there, but it's not required for love, my friends. Might be required for liking. It's not required for love. All right. Love never ends. Love never ends. Now, we say that and we, love never ends. Oh, that sounds wonderful. Love never ends. Well, think about it. Love never, ever, ever, ever ends. Lots of things end. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. All of these wonderful gifts that we desire and seek after, prophecy, tongues, knowledge, they will all come to an end. One day there will be no more preaching. One day I'll get to sit down and not have to preach. We were reading in the book of Revelation on Wednesday night in the Bible study. And we got to one of the images of heaven, and it described the great multitude in their white robes standing before the throne, surrounded by the elders, surrounded by the angels, and we fall down on our knees, and we sing praises to Almighty God, and that's what it's like to be in heaven. Worshiping God eternally, without end. And I thought to myself, that must be wonderful. That is going to be great. I don't have to lead worship or preach. I just get to join the congregation in praising God. Preaching will come to an end. Prophecy, that's what prophecy is. It's preaching, proclaiming the gospel, proclaiming the word of God. That's what prophecy is all about, my friends. Not, I was listening to, on the radio the other night, I was listening to one of those psychic people who tell us what the future is going to bring. And he was being touted as a really great prophet. And he had this track record of all the prophecies he'd gotten right. I'm laying there listening to the radio, and I thought to myself, okay, let's look him up. So I typed him into Google and did a Google search on the internet. And it came up with a list of all of his prophecies from 1992 on. President Clinton was supposed to die in office. It was going to be the Bush-Whitman ticket. he would be killed in 2002, and we would have a nuclear war in 2003. Oops. Nope. That's not prophecy, friends. Has nothing to do with prophecy. Doesn't even have anything to do with Christian prophecy. Foretelling the far future isn't what it's about. It's proclaiming the Word of God, period. It's going to come to an end. Preaching is going to come to an end. Tongues. As a gift, it was greatly sought after. It is, even today, greatly sought after. But this puts it in its place. It's a tool for assisting prophecy. Just take a look at the Acts of the Apostles. It was used to enable evangelism for people who did not know the Hebrew or Greek tongue. Tongues will come to an end. Knowledge. Divine knowledge that we receive. Human knowledge that we attain through study. Knowledge will come to an end. Prophecy, tongues, knowledge will all come to an end. Now we know only in part. We don't know everything. We know some things. We don't know everything. Now we prophesy only in part. We don't proclaim the entire truth because we don't have every single little bit of knowledge. We have what we need to know. Well, knowledge right now, and prophecy right now, and even tongues right now, are in part. Eventually they will be completed, made whole, made total. We will have all knowledge. Wow. Wow. Now we know only in part. When the complete comes, the complete knowledge, the complete proclamation of God's Word, which comes at the second coming, there will be no more partial human measures. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, Paul wrote. I reasoned like a child. It's time to put away childish things. When God comes, it's time to put away childish things. In essence, we are still children. And we are called to realize that love, unlike prophecy, unlike tongues, unlike knowledge, love will never end. These things, highly sought after commodities, highly sought after gifts of the Spirit, highly sought after graces of God, highly sought after in the church, both in the New Testament period and even today, all of these wonderful gifts, they're going to pass away. If we spend our Christian lives trying to build our proclamation, trying to build our knowledge, trying to build our ability to communicate the Word, and do not have love, we're in trouble. Let me repeat that. Let me make it specific. Let me make it focused and specific. And I'm going to be stepping on my own toes today. If we spend our Christian lives building up our own understanding of God's Word, building up our own understanding of the faith, building up our own understanding of theology and knowledge of Scripture, and do not have love, we're a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. We can make noise, but it has no spiritual meaning. We can make noise, but it has no spiritual meaning. Studying the Word is wonderful. Studying theology is wonderful. Studying God's Holy Scriptures is important and good and wonderful, and you should. But my friends, if it lacks the heart, if it lacks love, if it lacks the application of love and treating one another as God has treated us, then my friends, we're in trouble. Because that's all going to pass away. That's going to pass away. Love never ends. Where are you today? Most of us, myself included, need to be studying the Word, need to be studying the great truths of our faith, need to be studying, my friends, and building up knowledge and proclaiming the gospel in word and in deed. But if we do it without love, if we don't connect the mind and the heart, we're in trouble. Where is your heart today? Where is love in your life today? Where is love in your faith today? Is your faith, a head knowledge? Have good understanding of the Bible, but no application in love? My friends, if that's our situation today, we're in trouble. I encourage us to participate in Bible study, to come to worship, to build each other up in knowledge and in proclaiming the Word of God to the whole world. But my friends, more importantly, we need to be about building each other up in God's love. We do that through the studying of the Scripture. We do that through attending worship. We do that through Sunday school. We do that through the various means of grace. Through these instruments, prophecy, tongues, knowledge, we build up the love that never ends. But my friends, you must have that love. We as a congregation must have that love. I encourage us in this year of prayer to pray for each other. If you, my friend, are having a problem with another church member, if you are having a problem or a disagreement or difficulty communicating with another church member, I ask you to do something very important today and in the weeks and months to come. I want you to pray for that person specifically. By name, ask God to help you to reach out to them in love. Ask God to break down the barrier between you and them in love. Ask God to bridge the chasm that has been dug between you and them in His love. By name, pray for that person. And listen and wait to hear and to feel and to know what God is going to do. Study the Word, worship together, proclaim the gospel, build up your knowledge, seek the spiritual gifts. But my friends, ask God through these means of grace to build us all up in love. Faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Give thanks to God for the joy of being able to participate in the love of God which passes all human understanding. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.